Well, I don't know if you've ever had that moment when you're at the eye doctor and your face is in that little contraption and they, you know, you've taken your glasses off and you can't see anything and your chin is in there, and then the doctor puts the lens over top and he says, how about now? You know, lens A or B? A or B? And it's back and forth and you're sort of getting dizzy. And yet all of a sudden, when they flip it over, boom, it's like, whew, I can see this. Perfect. That's the one right there. Don't move it. We've had this experience when we can't see clearly and how difficult that is. But then all of a sudden, we're like, wow, I didn't know I could see so clearly. In some ways, when we see through the lens of Jesus, the lens of Christ, we begin to see the world differently. Like talking with the kids, we begin to see people differently than before. And it's not just our eyes, but it's our hearts and our minds that change as well. We even see the future differently as well. In today's reading, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to them about what it is to be putting on like a brand new pair of glasses and you're able to see clearly for the first time. He writes them, he says, now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. We don't view people from the way that the world does anymore. They may look the same on the outside, but once we put on the lens of Christ, we see them differently. Nothing looks the same anymore. So that's the question. Are we seeing each other? Are we seeing the world, our community, the way that we've always seen it? Or are we seeing them through the lens of Christ? Or is our vision still blurry and distorted? In many ways, Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, it's kind of like an eye exam for the church, right? You're going in, oh gosh, I hope my prescription doesn't change. No, Paul's having given like a little eye exam for the church. The congregation, they're struggling with conflicts. They have leadership challenges. They've got divided loyalties. Yeah, like just basically every organization on the planet. So Paul has a bit of a bumpy relationship with the Corinthians, but he loves them. He's a good pastor, and he's not in Corinth, and he writes them this letter because he's heard about what's been happening. So what the Corinthians are doing is they have different preachers coming into town. And they're kind of judging them, okay, this guy's a really, really, really good preacher. This guy has a lot of authority, and he's pounding the pulpit, right? Getting your attention. Like, and they are listening to these different preachers. And they wanted these displays of authority and power. And that's what they were attracted to. But Paul writes, you know, now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Because of what Jesus did, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, the world is different. We don't view the world like we did before. He's reminding them. He himself, Paul, knew this better than anybody, right? Remember how Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus? He's on this road. He's been persecuting Christians. He's had Christians killed. He's like, looks at Jesus, and all he sees is a failed Messiah that didn't bring about the promises that the Jewish people wanted. Someone who would kick out the Romans and restore power to the temple. And yet, it's only when Christ is confronted, you know, confronts Paul on the road to Damascus, it's almost like Paul finally gets a new pair of glasses. And they're red and fancy and they're purple. No, but no, they're new, and Paul can see clearly for the first time, and it changes everything. And so he writes them, we regard no one from a human point of view any longer. Scholar N.T. Wright, I like to read this guy, and he talks about that Paul once viewed the Messiah through these fleshly ideals. They call flesh is another way of saying worldly ways, because they were expecting a leader who would conquer enemies, purify the temple, and establish a political kingdom. Instead, Christ came with humility, suffering. As our good friend Bill Fritz always says, Christ came with the power of the towel. And this is how he would wash the disciples' feet. He would serve others. And this is how his kingdom would come. Different. You need new lenses to see this kind of kingdom. The Corinthians aren't the only ones struggling to see clearly. We live in a world that's full of distorted vision today. The human point of view, dominates. It's amazing how quickly things can change in our world, like daily, right? Things are changing. Nations are once allies. The economic system is humming along, and then the next minute, it's not. Yikes. Countries threaten each other. We live in a time of anger and suspicion, blame and retaliation. When we are hurt, we hurt back. That's human. That's what it is to be human. When we're hurt, we hurt back. When someone insults us, we retaliate. We can fall in the habit of viewing others only through this lens, a worldly, human point of view. But the thing is, when bitterness creeps in, I don't know, I've had my bout with bitterness. It's terrible. It's like poison. It's like drinking poison. It's no picnic. But when the self becomes the center of everything, whether for a person or a nation, we are tempted to justify anything through this lens of self, pride, security, revenge. And yet we know from history how dangerous this can be. When, remember how the nation slid into World War II, and it started by one nation gradually accepting small justifications for mistreatment and dehumanization until the unthinkable happens, right? You can begin to see people created in God's image as the enemy. This is how it happens. Closer to home, it can happen in our relationships. A harsh word or a grudge, a refusal to forgive, even forgive yourself. Before we know it, families, communities are divided, and we can operate out of fear and anger and bitterness, moral superiority, treating others, even those close to us, as people, not as people to love, but as problems to be solved. When Dr. Martin Luther King preached on Sunday morning in 1957, he fought the temptation to retaliate against a society steeped in racism. How do you go about loving your enemies? He preached to the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Begin with yourself, he said. When the opportunity presents itself to defeat your enemy, that's like the golden opportunity, finally. That's when you must not do it, he's preached. This is easier said than done. When we are mistreated, when we feel wronged, when we're afraid, it's easy to justify harsh words, harsh thoughts, harsh actions. Like the Corinthians, we can become distracted by success and power and getting back, self-protection, and forget about what really, really matters. The good news is this. God offers us a new lens to see the world, to see each other. Paul proclaims, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It's not just positive thinking. It's not just self-help. Through the life and death and resurrection of Christ, the world is changed. It's not the same. But we need new lenses, we need new goggles, we need new glasses to see this world, or we'll just kind of see it the way that we always have, through success and nationality and past mistakes. We need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. This is what Paul desired for the Corinthians. It's what we are called today to walk through with, in humility, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ. God is always, friends, in the business of reconciliation, bringing people together, bringing God and people together. And this isn't something we receive. this isn't something that we achieve, but something that we receive. God's grace. God's grace to us. We receive reconciliation. We're okay with God. It's why we sing that great hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's okay to look at God as your friend. God is on your side. God is on your side. Grace doesn't wait for us to get it all together. Thank God. God doesn't count our sins against us, but instead offers us always a new beginning, like we talk to the kids. Each day, it's a new beginning. And that's what I personally, Presbyterian, I know denominations don't matter, but what we have as a little community here in Uxbridge is God's grace. This is what makes our community unique. Not our performance. Sometimes we're a little bit humble with our faith. We're kind of scared to share it. But God's grace is not something you need to be afraid of. God reconciles us, not because we deserve it, but because this is what God does. He's in the reconciliation business. Look at how it worked in Paul's life. God made the first move. Paul didn't do anything, and Jesus just met him, changed his life. And boy, what a difference it made. Not by following the rules, being a good boy, but he didn't have to finally figure things out on his own. But Jesus meets him and changes his life. Paul's persecuting Christians, and Jesus comes. "Saul, what are you doing? Come on back. Come back on track." Making Paul into a man of peace and love. Paul says that God has entrusted this message of reconciliation to us today as the church. You and I are met by grace, and we become ambassadors of Christ. Like the king is there, and we're the ambassadors. We represent the king with our lives. As ambassadors, we're called to live through the new creation that's already here, not seeing people as enemies, but as beloved children of God. Man, that is hard to do. You need new glasses. So go to the eye doctor. No. Put on the lens of Christ. See the world differently. Canadian General Romeo Dallaire, he's best known for his international leadership as the commander of the United Nations peacekeeping force. And he was particularly prevalent in 94 during the Rwanda genocide. Remember that one? And Romeo, he kept telling the UN, "Look, something's coming big. It's getting out of control. We got to do something here. We got to do something." And he kept warning. No one was listening. Instead of sending reinforcements, they ordered Dallaire and all the UN peacekeepers to withdraw. And yet he refused. He stayed on the ground. He witnessed unspeakable violence and loss and betrayal. He came home with PTSD. He was bitter. He was upset. It was a mess. And yet he knew that he had to let that go. He couldn't hold on to it, and he chose a different path. He became an advocate for human rights, mental health, and the prevention of mass atrocities across our world. He later worked with child soldiers and international peacekeeping, and made him a symbol of reconciliation, of resilience and hope. He witnessed such horror, and yet he didn't live in the despair, but he chose to work for justice and compassion to make this world a better place. In some ways, he was putting on the lens of Christ to see the world differently. He became a walking billboard for reconciliation, to see the world through new eyes, through peace and healing where it's most needed. Friends, you and I are invited to see the world through these new lenses. We're invited to not just get a better view, but to get a whole new creation. Whole creation is being transformed into the way it was meant to be. We see our enemies differently. We see our neighbors differently through the lens of grace. Friends, God has entrusted you and me with this ministry of reconciliation. So let's put on these new lenses. Let's see the world differently. And we might become walking billboards of reconciliations ourselves, in our community, in our families, and in our country. Let me ask you again, are you still seeing the world through these old lenses, blurry? Or have you let Christ fit you with these new lenses of hope and reconciliation? All praise and glory to the one God revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen.